The text this morning can be found in Psalm 37, the verse 23, verse 24 I'll be speaking on, but the words, the steps of a good man. I want to speak this morning about the steps of a good man. As you and I have read some of the verses here of this particular psalm together, Psalm 37, it's dealing with two types of men. One, a righteous man, and the other one is wicked. And of course, you and I know today that is a dividing line in this congregation. Those who are wicked, not saved, and those who are righteous. That's a dividing line today in our province. It is a dividing line right across the world. There are people on one side of the line, and they're righteous, they're saved, and they're following Christ. And then there's other people on the other side of the line, and they're wicked. They're following sin and following the devil. A good example here for the righteous man in this particular psalm. He's trusting in the Lord. It says that in verse 3, trust in the Lord. He's delighting himself in the Lord. He's committing himself to the Lord. He's resting in the Lord. You see, in his life, he's following Jesus. He's living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also waiting for the Lord. But the wicked person, he is so different. We see there in verse 14 of this particular psalm, the wicked have drawn out their sword and have bent their bows to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. They hate the people of God and they hate the Christ of God. You can see in verse 12 of this psalm, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. So there's this enmity between God's people and the world. And they don't like us. And they don't like the Savior that we love. And they don't like the Savior that we follow. They don't like the life that we live. And so we're hated and despised. So in this particular psalm, it's talking about two types of people. The righteous and the saint of God. And while he's dealing with this subject, he tells us about the steps of a good man. Now, you may say today, well, does the Bible not say there is none good in Romans 3, verse 12? No, not one. That is true. Naturally, there's none of us good. No matter about our background, no matter where we're from, there is none good. Right across the world, there's not a just man upon the earth. The Bible says, no, not one. In ourselves, we're not good. But in Jesus Christ, he makes us good. He makes us good. He makes us righteous. He makes us acceptable with God. And he makes us into, in a sense, a good man and a good woman. And so we're talking here about this man and his steps, his walk. And so here it talks about the steps of a good man. I want to say the steps of a good woman. A woman who loves Christ, who following Christ, living for the Lord Jesus Christ, is talking about her steps. The steps of a good man. The steps of a Christian. And that's what I want to speak about here today, about the steps of a good man. Now, first of all, you can see some simple lessons. The sovereignty of God in the steps. Notice what it says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so immediately we see here, here's the child of God, his life, his steps. Someone's in control of these steps. Someone is watching over these steps. Someone is planning these steps. Notice this. It's not the Christian. It's not the child of God. No. Ordered by the Lord. It's God's doing it. That word order can mean fixed or established. In other words, the steps are planned by God. One particular commentator says, nothing ever happens by accident. God is guiding each one of our steps. And I want to say that again. Nothing happens by accident. God is guiding each one of our steps. Now, there's a text. ordered by the Lord. And the whole plan of his people's steps are signed, sealed, and delivered away in eternity. He set out the blueprint for your life, child of God, and he set out the blueprint for my life. God ordered your steps. Do you think of the steps? What about the step of salvation? Who ordered that one? Was it you? Was it me? Was it our parents? Was it somebody close to us? God may use these people to cause an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. But who ordered those steps? The day we took that step of faith and came to the Lord Jesus Christ and fell before him and says, Lord, I want you to save me. I want you to cleanse me from my sin. I want you, Lord, to be my Savior. Who ordered that step? I want to say to you today, that was the Lord. That's the Lord. God ordered that step. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ says in John 6 verse 44 about the unsaved, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And no one can come. They're held by sin and they're held by the devil. They can't take that step. But then it says in verse 37, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And there we're told that people cannot come to Christ in themselves. Someone orders that step. Someone plans that step. Someone, in a sense, gives us that push to take that step of faith to Jesus Christ. Who is it? It's the Lord. He has ordered that step. Child of God, you can remember that day you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You found yourself maybe in a gospel mission, or you met somebody along life's journey who witnessed to you, spoke to you about your soul, the need of Jesus Christ. And then that wonderful day you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. God ordered all those steps to bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I say nothing happens by chance. He orders even the very step of our salvation to bring us to the Lord Jesus. And you think there also about the step of service, because after we get saved, that's the starting point of our life. It's not the end. He orders our steps. And in some cases, he orders the steps of people full-time. Full-time ministry, full-time work. It may be a missionary, it may be an evangelist, it may be a minister. And full-time God then orders the steps of people. Here's what I want you to do in the service of in my service. I want you to serve me. I want you to live for me. And he orders their steps to do this. He calls people full-time and they leave their jobs. And that's scripture. And they go out and they preach the word of God now to other people. It's not full-time, but it's to this church, perhaps. God ordered your steps to this church, what to do. And it's wonderful to come and to sit and to listen and to support the minister and all in the church. But there's a work to do for Christ and this whole community. And so we come, he orders our steps into this place. Maybe it's a workplace. God wants you to be a witness. You say, why do I work in this particular place? Well, who guided your steps to that particular job? To that particular business? See, God orders the steps of his people. And there we find ourselves among all the ungodly, perhaps in workplace. A dark place. But listen here, we can shine all the brighter for Christ. He's ordered our steps. And all of these things, Job said in Job 23, verse 14, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And Job realized this as well. Think of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, a tremendous verse that tells us about after our conversion, after it, what God has done for us. For it says in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus on the good works which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Isn't that tremendous? Before the world began, ordained, God has done these things. We are created on the good works which he has foreordained that we should walk in them. All has been arranged by God. He's given us different gifts. He's given us different abilities in the service. But he planned it all. He planned it all for us, you see. And he's directed you to this congregation. He's directed you to this church. You see, he's ordered our steps. He's planned it, that we would be together in this place, in this community, in this village, to live for Christ and to serve him together and to lift up Christ to the people who's lost without him in this whole Mourne community. See, he orders our steps. He opens doors to serve him. He stops sometimes. You can think of the book of Acts chapter 16, verse 6, by Paul, and then going out preaching, Silas preaching, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach in certain places. So what happens? God is working. He's working behind the scenes in the life of a child of God. He stops sometimes. He closes doors sometimes. He opens doors. He guides us this way or to that way. But what is happening in our life? He guides us. The steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord, even in service. So we need to find out, of course, where he wants us to walk. We need to find out where he wants us to work. That's why we need to pray. In all thy ways acknowledge him, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and he shall direct thy paths. We need to pray to God. We need to get into his word. We need to say, Lord, I want you to speak to me from your word. What will thou have me to do? Where will thou have me go to serve thee? Remember Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word. Well, David said, I ain't moving. I ain't going to the left. I ain't going to the right, Lord. No. Order my steps in thy word. So God orders our steps. That's why we should read the Bible. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God, and the Spirit leads us. And so in the sense of serving God and doing a little work for Christ, he orders our steps. Now, if you sought the Lord, what do you want me to do? Is there work for Christ I can do in this congregation? It may be common just sitting with the boys and girls at the Holiday Bible Club or trying to bring some to the meetings. If you're allowed to do that, I'm not sure with the COVID. Just doing a little work for Christ. Lord, guide me. Guide my steps. Let me live for Christ. Let me do something for the Lord Jesus. Remember when Saul got converted, he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Have you ever been there before God? Have you ever sought the Lord earnestly and honestly and humbly? Said, Lord, what wilt thou have me? Not the person behind me or in front of me to the left or to the right. No. What wilt thou have me to do? Order my steps, Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Those steps of salvation, those steps of service. What about steps of sorrow and suffering? Sometimes in life there are many difficult steps to take. It's hard. And the road is difficult and hard and long and full of difficulties. And there's troubles and there's tears and there's pains and there's sorrows. And you find it tough. Perhaps you feel you're walking uphill and you're struggling within your soul and within your heart. Maybe it says in Isaiah 50, verse 10, those who trust in the Lord and walk in darkness. Where these steps come? Why is it all these things are happening to my life? Why is it the trials? Why is it the troubles? Why is it the difficulties? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Even these difficult pathways. It's darkness. Full of pain and sorrow, maybe sickness, maybe trials. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Sometimes God leads us in difficult pathways. It's not all sunshine. And anybody who preaches that when you get saved, it's all going to be happy ever after. You never cry, you never have a burden, you never have a trial, hasn't read the Bible. It's full of trials. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, Paul writing to that church who were suffering affliction and troubles. He said that no man should be moved by these afflictions. So don't be moved by what is happening. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. And the word appointment means led up or set or made. Who made the appointment? Who made the appointment for this people to suffer tribulation and to suffer troubles? It was God. God made it. God made the appointment for these people. As Matthew Henry said, their troubles and persecutions did not come by chance, not merely from the wrath and malice of the enemies of religion, but by the appointment of God. God did it. I want you to say, child of God, this morning, remember the text, the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. And remember this, God has ordered these steps. And there's a reason for them. There's a reason for the difficult steps. God doesn't suddenly say, look, they're getting a variation down there. I must make life rough it up a wee bit for them and let them walk this pathway. There's always a reason for the difficult pathways. Now, you can think of some of them. What about chastisement? Do we need to be chastened by the Lord? Are we living right? Are we doing right for the Lord Jesus Christ? You can read Hebrews. It talks about, in Hebrews 12, about the chastening of the Lord upon his people. And there are times we need to be chastened for our sin to get us right onto the right pathway. There are times we need to be toughened up, of course, and made into soldiers of the Lord. We can't be soft all the time of our life. Sometimes God says, I want to toughen you up. I want you to be a soldier of the Lord. And so he puts us onto these pathways. Or they're very, very difficult to walk and very painful. Because we're soldiers, and he wants to train us up. Oh, dear friends, sometimes, of course, we do know it's a trial to build us up in our faith, to learn us more, to lean more upon Christ. But all these things is for the glory of God. All these steps. And we know, as it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, that all things work together for good to them that love God. And even though it's difficult, and even though it's hard, and even though there's things that's happened in our life that's broken us, we know as we take these steps, it's all for a good. It's all for a good. But God ever asks us to take a bad step? I don't think so. All of these steps are for a good. Proverbs 20, verse 24 says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? We cannot understand it. But all these things, our steps, are ordered by the Lord. All of them. For a reason. We learn to trust him. To teach us we're not here forever. We're going home. We don't want to get too attached to the world. Then you can think about steps of a spouse and family. You know, some have a lifetime partner, some have not. Why is this? Because our steps are ordered by the Lord. Abram's servant went away down there to Abram's home to get a wife for Isaac. I remember he prayed and he says he wanted a woman that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. He looked to God, he prayed. He said, Lord, I'm down here looking for a wife for Isaac, and there's a woman you have appointed. Notice, you have appointed. You have chosen her. And lead me to her. And you can read that in Genesis chapter 24. How God brought them both together at the well. Who ordered those steps? Who ordered those steps? Who were God. And some of us here today can think how we met our partner in life. Who ordered them? God. And you bring it into family and all the things of children and not children. All our steps are ordered by the Lord. Our steps are to be like Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 that ye should follow his steps. And so I said to you today, here we have the sovereignty of God in our steps. In my life, child of God, and in your life, there's a hand. The unseen hand is guiding us through this world. It's God's hand. He'll guide us. And that wonderful too. He'll guide us the right way. He'll guide us the right way. Because our steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And think about the satisfaction in the steps. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Some commentator says, God's delighting here. God's delighting. He's watching his child walking, fulfilling his word, obeying him, loving him, and God is delighted. When you think, child of God, when we look at our children and we see them doing what we want them to do, we're delighted. We're delighted to see them obeying us, loving us. We're delighted with them. And see, as Spurgeon brought that out about this, that God loves the few, the holy strivings of a soul pressing to the skies. Remember, he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I'm pleased with his steps. And child of God this morning, is the Lord pleased with your steps, your life? You see, these steps we walk in, they bring delight to God. Of course we had to say it. They bring delight to us. Remember the words of Christ in Psalm 40, verse 8. He says, I delight to do thy will. Oh my God, I delight to do it. I delight to follow your steps. We know his way is perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. We know as we take these steps that the Lord is with us. We know as we take these steps, we're going home to heaven. He's leading us home to heaven to be with Christ, which is far better. And every step we take in life is leading me home to heaven. So we delight ourselves in these steps. I'm following Jesus. Aren't you glad you're following the Lord Jesus today? Years ago we weren't. Years ago we were in sin and far away from him. But I'm glad today I'm following Jesus. I'm living for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the steps of a good man, you see. We're living for Christ. The satisfaction. Oh, none but Christ can satisfy. We tried the broken systems of the world. They didn't satisfy us at all. But oh, we found the Lord Jesus Christ. What fullness of joy and life was in our soul today, child of God. Oh, the steps of a good man. You're glad today you're saved. And you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. Despite the trials and troubles. Listen, the ungodly have their trials and they have their troubles as well. But you and I have the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we delight in him. We delight in him. Think about the slipping in the steps. Look what says the next verse. Though he fall. You see, the fact of the fall here, the truth is here that every child of God will fall. Will fall in one way and another. We think of a little child learning to walk. We know as we watch that little child of ours starting to walk, it is going to fall. You're not going to say it's going to get on its feet and it will never have a fall. You and I watch it and down it goes. And down it goes. And down it goes. And down it goes. And dear friends, it's absolutely certain that you and I will fall. We do fall. I don't think there's anybody in this meeting who's listening in today who say, I never fall. I never fall. Can any of us? I can't say it. Though we fall. What about the past week? Have we fallen? Have we sinned against God? Look at the Word of God, the examples of men who fell. Good men who fell. Look at Noah, a righteous man. He built the ark. He came out of the ark and he got drunk. He fell. You think of Moses, that good man, the man out of the call of God to bring the people out of the land of Egypt. He killed the man and he fell. You have David, who fell into adultery. You have Peter, that bold, that brave man of God. Yet he denied the Lord Jesus Christ with oaths and cursing. He fell. And maybe you're listening to my voice today and you said, Noel, I've fallen. You will surely fall in this world. There's none of us without sin. None of us. But we get back up again. And that's the difference in us and the world. The child of God gets back up again and goes on with God. That's the difference. And the fall here. And then the fault. God is not the author of sin, of course. God's not the author of our sin at all. The fault is ours. We're foolish. We stumble and we fall. Remember David prayed in Psalm 119, verse 133, order my steps and thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Don't let sin have any dominion over me, Lord. For David realized if he fell and he sinned, it's his fault. And child of God, it's our fault. It's my fault when I fall and fail. There's something within us that leads us towards sin. You think here about the slip and also the hurt. You know, when you fall, you can get hurt badly. But David was broken when he fell, and he fell greatly. And of course, we know the hurt, that God will work through the falls for his glory and for his good. And even David had to say in his falls and faults in life, he said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. I've now kept thy word. He said in Psalm 23, verse 2, he maketh me to lie down. There's a purpose. There's a purpose even in the fall. We can learn more of God. We can learn how loving, how kind, how merciful is our God to us. You see, think about the slipping in the steps. Though he fall. And I can look over my life and I can think of people that walk with God and who fell. And some have fallen greatly. And that's what it says in the text. Though he fall. But here's the support in the steps. Look what it says. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Here's the support. Here's the support in the steps. The promise. He shall not be cast down. Notice this. That he deserves to be cast down. Deserves to be cast away from God. But the Bible says there's a promise here for those who fall. He shall not be cast down. I'm speaking here of God's people. He shall not be cast down. As I said, he doesn't remain down. He rises up again. He gets up and goes forward. Remember, it says in Proverbs 24, verse 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. He goes up again. He ain't given up. He ain't gone back into the world. He isn't going to live for sin. No, he's going to live for Christ. No, he falls seven times. He rises up again. He'll not be cast down. That's what the Bible said. He asked for forgiveness. And God forgives him. And cleanses him. And so he walks on. It's like our little children when they do something wrong. And he says, listen, would you forgive me? We forgive them. And they walk on with us again. We have the promise here to the child of God. He shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord loves us so much. He ain't going to let us go. He's our support in life. As he walk, you see. The Lord holds up the righteous man. Look what it says. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. There's a hand on us. On the righteous man who slips. Who falls. Who feels. Who's hurt. Who's hurt. There's a hand. The unseen hand is reaching out. Is holding him. He's not letting him go. He's not going to lose him. No, God loves him so much, he holds him by his hand. And he never lets him go. You and I know there's two ways of holding a child by the hand. They can hold my hand. And when they let go, if they slip, they can fall. But if I'm holding their hand, and when they slip, I'm holding them. And there's support for the child of God as we seek to walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 17 it says, the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Oh, child of God, why is it after many, many years we're still going on with God? We're still coming to his house. We're still following him. Why is it? Because the Lord has upholdeth us with his hand. That's my testimony. It's not me. There's a hand that's held me up when I fell, when I failed. He forgave me and led me on with him. Oh, the steps of a good man. They're ordered by the Lord, you see. It was Albert Barnes says, God will not suffer him to sink or to utter ruin. He upholds us. Oh, it's good to know that God upholds us. He gets us back onto our feet again and we walk with him. I'm glad. I'm glad this morning I can say I'm walking in the steps of God's choosing. And he's holding my hand. And you can say that, child of God, to yourself today. Maybe it's a difficult time you're going through or went through. These steps have been ordered by my God. But he's holding my hand. He's holding my hand. And he's taking us home to heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thing? His steps is leading us home to heaven. The steps of a good man lead him home. We're going home to heaven. But the steps of an ungodly man lead him to hell. And that's the difference, isn't it? That's a big difference. And if you're unsaved in the meeting this morning, remember the steps, the life you're living, the pathway you're following is taking you down towards a lost eternity. And what you need to do is to repent, turn around on that pathway. Turn around and come to Jesus Christ and trust him and be washed in the blood of a lamb. And God will save you. And he will give you everlasting life. Oh, child of God, today, think about our steps. God has ordered your steps to this day. He has them all planned right to the end of time. And even when we get to heaven, we're still following his steps. You know what it says in Revelation 7, verse 17? For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. Think of that. In heaven with Christ, he's feeding them. He's leading his people onto the living fountains of water. We're still following the steps that God has laid out. Oh, let us rejoice today in the Lord Jesus Christ, child of God. He's all under control. He's leading me. He's leading you and I. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. And though we fall, we shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him by his hand. He's holding our hand and he's leading us home to heaven. And may God write those truths upon all of our heart. Amen.